Podcast People's Podcast. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of What Most People Think. And I am back from New York. I'm back from New York. I'm just going to bring in this week's guest, Rachel Fairburn. We're making a welcome return to the show. Rachel, have you ever had a friend who's gone to another country briefly?
Is this you now, is it?
No, well, not really. I just realised how annoying and how pathetic I find those people.
Yeah, well, someone said to me that they used to live in America, and I went, oh, did you? And they were like, yeah, well, I added up all the times that I went. It added up to like 3 months, so I've lived in America for 3 months. I was like, that's not true.
No. I'd put them up there with the people that say that they've been to a country, but only because they transferred flights in that country.
Yes. Like, I've been to Amsterdam, but only in the airport, in Schiphol Airport.
Yeah, yeah. I've been to Singapore, but I was only in Changi Airport.
Yeah, exactly.
Or I've been to Dubai. No, you haven't been to any of these places. You've used a toilet and a fast food outlet in a place. So I'm not going to do that, but I did have a good time in New York. One thing, I mean, we will get into in the patron-only section, reflections on New York as a traveller, a sort of like Danny Dyer version of Bill Bryson, which is what I'm going to aim to be.
Oh, I love that.
I'm going to talk about city breaks and stuff like that. But just one cultural thing in terms of their news while I was out there, because obviously my wife was delighted because the US presidential race is happening right now. I was like, let's stay in the apartment and watch the news. Let's watch American news because it's so cool. But they're so fucking openly biased. It's really weird. Have you been to the States? Or have you been?
Yeah, I've been quite a few times. Four times? I went last November, yeah.
The news is astonishing. So yeah. Obviously most of it is anti-Trump. So they'll start off a story by saying, so this is the news anchor. They'll go, I'm just going to bring in Barb. Barb is on the ground in Pennsylvania. Barb, is this another reason why people should be terrified of a second Trump presidency? Now, there may well be reasons why people should be terrified of a Trump presidency. But for a Brit, watching that, it's so fucking weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then they might go, well, your news readers turned out to be nonsense. So I guess there's swings and roundabouts.
There is that, to be fair.
I mean, swings and roundabouts is probably a terrible metaphor to use when referring to Hugh Edwards.
Well, yes.
So we'll move it on. We are going to talk about the US election. So just a quick timestamp. We're recording this at 10 a.m. on Monday morning. This show will be out on the main feed on Tuesday. So we're going to talk in quite general terms because the results will start coming in. But if it's anything like last time, the result might not be known until Saturday. I'm sure Donald's already decided the result, but, you know, I'm talking officially. We're going to be talking about the unraveling of the budget. Is that a bit of a biased term that I'm using there, or certainly the fallout? But we have got an indication of how Labour intend to govern and the newly minted leader of the opposition, Kemi Badenoch. New patrons. So as you know, Rachel, veteran of the show now, we're going to rinse some names here.
I like this bit.
Well, we got Glenn Westerman.
Ooh.
Glenn Westerman.
He sounds like a country singer.
Glenn Westerman. Glenn has come out for Trump.
Yeah.
Glenn would have declared for Trump long ago.
I think so. He's written a song. He's turned up at a rally.
What kind of song would it have been? It would be called My America.
Yes.
This is my America. Good old boys drinking beer, telling their wives how to vote.
You've got him to a T. That's perfect.
We've got Ange as well. So it's always nice to have a lady patron. Ooh. A lady patron. Getting the round in makes a change.
Ange, yeah.
We've got Alistair Grain. Alistair Grain's an interesting name, isn't it? A Grain.
Alistair Grain.
That's what his mates call him. A Grain.
He sounds like an old actor.
One of those guys that like the smell of, the grease and the wax paint? One of those
the grease paint.
The grease paint. And those guys that would go over to the States and just be rude to Americans.
Yes. But it was seen as charming and British.
Yeah, and eccentric. We lost the confidence to do that. I mean, I'll say one thing about when I was in the States is that people couldn't understand my accent at all.
Oh.
I think maybe more this the South London thing. Maybe the words roll into each other. But at one point, I got in a cab and I said 577th East Street, and a guy went, "What, 364th Avenue?" And no, come on, man. I was like 577th East Street. He's going, what? And my wife said exactly the same words. He's like, 500. I was like, this is officially trolling now. Remember that you will get bonus content when you listen. If you join the Patreon, which you can do at Patreon, either search my name or the name of the podcast. And a couple of people who've joined recently have asked about how you get the bonus content. Basically, there's information on the page. You get your, it sounds really technical, but you get your RSS feed, you put it in your podcast, and the podcast will come to you into your podcast provider with that bonus content. Obviously, you get it also early and ad-free. Now, our super patron, David Demain, we were talking about Dutch names. So, you know, people call who have the word van in the middle of their name. We had a new patron last week called David Van Brett.
Yes.
It always sounds quite cool. What, Rachel Van Fairburn? That sounds immediately very sophisticated.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, it sounds aristocratic.
Rachel Van Fairburn is the kind of person that would be introduced to a room. Ladies and gentlemen, Rachel Van Fairburn.
Oh, I love it. Pop it in.
Would you know that the van means descendant of or coming from a place? So it just means, one of my favourite DJs, Armin Van Buren, it just means Armin from Buren.
It sounds good though, doesn't it?
It does sound good, but it's like one of those things that you shouldn't pick away at. You know, stuff sounds so exotic in another language. Las Vegas. You know, Las Vegas just means the meadows.
I think some of my ancestors, I think on my grandmother's side, their surname was Dilap. I think that's Dutch, isn't it?
I mean, it just sounds like an abbreviation of dilapidated, though.
Dilapidated, yeah.
Rachel Dilapidated.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
The meadows as well. The problem with that is, you know the old phrase with Vegas, what happens in the meadows stays in the meadows. That sounds like a murder.
It does, but also the meadows, it was a council estate near where I'm from.
That's so funny. Why do the dodgiest places have the friendliest sounding names?
Yeah, my friend used to live at 69 The Meadows, which sounds like Jilly Cooper.
69 The Meadows, yeah, the long-awaited follow-up to Rivals. It is weird. Like, I remember, like, in South London, all the pubs with the friendliest names were the worst for violence. Like the Jolly Gardeners, you'd never go to the Jolly. So yeah, there's another shooting at the Jolly Gardeners.
Yeah, always the way.
If something's called like the Rainbow Estate, don't fucking go anywhere near the Rainbow Estate. Yeah,
the friendlier it sounds, the worse the violence. That is a top tip from two working class people there.
Very top tip for our middle-class listeners. We also were talking about people that had publicly come out and supported the Tories. I'm totally stereotyping you as a northerner here, but Bill Roach, Ken Barlow.
Oh, yeah.
He supported the Tories. He came out.
Oh, did he?
It's always that you're coming out as a Tory supporter, isn't it? No one ever says that about Labour. It's like he's admitted.
Well, I just think people just assume that everyone thinks the same as them. So I just think if people are, you know, most people, I'd say in our industry, are very vocally liberal.
Yeah,
I think, you know, that's how it is, isn't it? Yeah, but you I think you're right. So Bill Roach, I think he's, I'd assume that he was a Tory, you know?
He gives off that vibe, you know, let's be honest, he gives off the kind of vibe of a guy that would have called the budget a betrayal. So just another thing about my time in New York, I've become not the prick that has the accent, but the guy that speaks constantly about the 3.5 days he had in New York, was we were there on Halloween, and they take it very seriously there. But my son, and this was an unexpected outcome, was my wife, you know, like, she's just ahead of the game. She understands these things. She packed a Halloween outfit for him, and it was very cool and very scary. And all the Yank kids, they were like dressed up. They just dressed up as what they wanted to dress up as, really. You know, it's kind of like World Book Day. It had fuck all to do with books.
Yeah.
This had nothing to do with Halloween. But my son had a genuinely scary outfit. And he was the talk of New York City on Halloween night.
Oh, wow.
I think that they've forgotten that it's supposed to be a bit scary, genuinely.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point. Yeah, you should look scary, because I'm a big fan of Halloween. I've never gone for the, and I'm not judging. If women want to dress in a sexy outfit, you go for it, love. I saw someone going to a Halloween party dressed as a washing machine the other day, and I just thought, oh, just be a ghost, will you? You know, be something scary.
It's become an opportunity to be sexy or eccentric, isn't it?
Yeah.
When it's really about trying to scare the shit out of people. I mean, what was funny while we were there was people outside their houses do these big Halloween displays. And there was this one woman, and she made her little dog, because they got so many fucking dogs out there. She made her dog sit in the middle of all these pumpkins because it would be a good Instagram photo. And this dog, I think it was like a French bulldog, and they look nervous at the best of times. They always look like they're scared someone's going to drop kick them or something. And it had this scared look on his face, like something bad's going to happen. And then there was a mechanical spider that moved, and then the dog went, you know, that weird screaming sound. And I thought, It was just like a dog from a Pixar film or The Secret Life of Pets, where it already has an anxiety disorder.
Yeah.
And that just proves everything I thought. This is why I don't do Halloween anymore. It's getting living shit out of me, Mom.
That was a very good New York accent.
I'm a chameleon, a man of seven voices. The fuck you. What is your fuck you, Rachel? I mean, there is. Firstly, we should say we've had to switch the way that we're recording this because you got bad Wi-Fi in your hotel, despite the hotel being...
It's a Marriott.
It's a Marriott.
Yeah, it's a Marriott Bonvoy. I wouldn't mind, you know. But yeah, the Wi-Fi is just not working. So hence the reason I'm sort of lying on a bed like some old Hollywood star.
People can't see it, but there's a very boudoir feel to this. Like you just kicked out some bellboy who delivered more than strawberries.
He brought my champagne and he left with a limp.
He left with a limp and yes. So your fuck you is?
Oh my God, nothing works. Nothing works. I cannot. My life has been made so difficult by things not working and nobody following rules. I can't live in this world anymore. So, for example, I travel on trains all the time. And I think because I travel a lot and I look like I know what I'm doing, people ask me all the time because nothing works and nobody's there to ask. Avanti West Coast, nobody's there for people to get information. People ask me all the time. I don't know.
Why do they ask you?
I don't know, but I get it all the time. Like, excuse me, is this train going to Manchester? I'm like, yes, but it's constant. I'm up in the north doing a gig. I was doing a gig in Todmorden, and I was stood at the train station in Manchester Victoria, and three people said, is this train going to Leeds? I'm like, I don't work here. but there is nobody around to ask. There's no customer service anymore. Nobody can get the information they need. And then the train doors close 30 seconds before departure. It's like some people are running for a train and then they can't even... It's the whole railway system is the fuck you.
They do say that now, don't they? Just be aware that the doors is train and they're sort of taking a piss. They're going 30 seconds, sometimes 2 minutes before departure.
Yeah.
It's the same as these places that go, we do check out at this hotel at 10 a.m. and check-in is at 5:30 in the evening. You go, well, what the fuck are you doing for 7.5 hours?
I can't bear it. There is no... Everything is broken. The system is broken. And I am just... It's like you say, it's like check-ins at 3 and then you must be out by 10 a.m. All right, I'll just sleep in the street then, shall I? Because you're offering no service whatsoever. And it's like the bollocking you get when you get on a train now. There's a whole sort of announcement by the train manager about if you've got this ticket, don't make sure you can't get on this train. And you get told off for a good 2 minutes before the journey. Enjoy your journey. All right, well. Sure, why not? Now I've been told off. Nothing works.
I mean, for God's sake, we've had 3 months of a Labour government, and this is the, you know, I don't want to be biased like the US coverage, but in many ways, Rachel, what I'm hearing is this is very much on Keir Starmer. All right, speaking of Labour, let's just get into a bit of not the budget, because obviously that was last week's news, but the continuing fallout. Were you tuned in for the budget, Rachel? You know, like, were you excited?
Well, no, I was nervous because obviously Keir Starmer had, you know, told us all off, being the train manager that he is. He bollocked us all, didn't he, in advance. You're not going to like this, you know. And it's like, right, okay, well, just tell us what it is. And I started watching.
It's terrible. It's going to be terrible. You've been very, very naughty. The whole country's been naughty. We've got
That's
to pay
what it feels
price.
Like. Why am I being told off all the time? I started watching it live and I thought, you know what, I'll just wait for the highlights. I can't listen to this.
There is a strong argument. I mean, the problem is that Rachel Reeves, if you're not in the mood for being told off as a grown-up, Rachel Reeves is literally the deputy head from hell with that severe fringe and those eyes looking at you. She's kind of like Keir Starmer's henchman. Like, she has to be the man because of... Who, you know those couples where the woman has to be the bloke, you know? Like if they were a couple and there was a burglar downstairs, he'd be pulling up his duvet up over his face.
Sending her out.
She'd be going down there with a fucking baseball bat. I mean, the tone, one of the things I thought was kind of interesting. If you look at now, you know, we've had the stuff about wearing the glasses, the suits and all the kind of frivolous scandal stuff. But we really have got to set the tone of politics for the next 5 years or just under. Is we've got big pay rises to public sector and more taxes on business, really. So if you look at it, and this has happened under Tory and Labour. So corporation tax went up under the Tories by 5%. Massively from 19 to 24%. And now Labour put up a tax on workers. So what I'm kind of wondering is successive parties, they talk about, it's about growth. We've got to grow, we've got to be biggest economy in the G7 and in the Milky Way and, you know, the Andromeda Galaxy. And then you go, but like from a business point of view, you're saying one thing, but you're now taxing profits and you're now taxing employing people. I mean, you can kind of understand it on the bigger companies, but the moment you see a hairdresser, on like BBC Southeast, go, well, I'm gonna have to shut, you know, my hairdressers, you know, curl up and die. Yeah. There's no more, you know, great name, great company. I mean, did you have any sympathy for that, or were you glad to see them, you know, going after business rather than people?
No, I just feel that everything just seems to affect negatively the people it shouldn't affect. I mean, there is no, since I became self-employed a few years ago, my tax is insane. I pay my tax. Let me just get that out there, Jeff. But yeah. This year, I'm like, well, I don't know how I'm going to pay that because everything's gone up. I am my job. There is just me. There is no incentive to, you know, if you think, oh, I'll set up a business, what's the incentive for people to sort of do their own thing now? I mean, if an independent, you know, little hairdressers or whatever is going to struggle now, where's the incentive? These are, you know, working people. Well, these are the working people and you're making it hard for them to work, actually. I just think it's terrible, really.
Yeah, it is odd because they've made such a big play that that's how we basically, you know, sort out the country's finances is through growth. I mean, I'm amazed. I mean, in a weird way, they had this big business summit where they said they got $64 billion of investment. I go, if they did one smart thing, was doing that before the fucking budget. You know, they gave them loads of like scrambled egg and salmon in the morning and said, yeah, we'll take the investment. Sign here. Absolutely no issue. Oh, by the way. We're gonna fuck you. And that is, I suppose, a resentment for like people on the proper left. Is they successive governments seem shit scared of Google, Amazon, and the multinationals, and trying to get more corporation tax out of them. And so it's always the smaller outfits that seem to pay the price. I mean, one of the measures that went through was about farmers. I don't fully understand this, right? But there was inheritance tax relief on farms. And it does seem that there are some people that have used this as a big tax avoidance scheme. Got loads of silly lads buying up, you know, loads of grand guys in wheelchair that honestly get on this. It's a fucking wheeze. Yeah, I own fucking three farms, dude. Never expected it. So you've got those guys, but then you have got family farmers that the incentive is partly that they can pass it on without costs. One of the weirdest things I saw from the US was, you know, farmers kind of complaining about this and then kind of people on the sort of left basically trolling them for being upset. And it reminded me of, you know, in Cambodia when Pol Pot had his dictatorship, and I'm not saying it's on the same level of this, but at one point they went after people that had one more bag of rice because they redefined them as being like the bourgeois, the privileged, the elites, right? The rice elites. And I sort of thought, man, if you're going after like family farms, I'm really not sure that you're punching up in the way that you think.
See, the other thing is, it's like, obviously I pay tax and I'm not bothered, but I wouldn't mind if I felt like I was, like everything worked in return. I've paid into this system since I was 16 years old. I don't seem to be getting anything back out of it. I can't get what I need. I go to a private dentist now. Do you know what I mean? I can't get an NHS dentist. I can't see a doctor when I need to. You leave everything now. It's like, oh, I'll leave it. Oh, I won't get an appointment. I just feel that, I don't know. If the system starts working, I'll stop moaning.
Well, I think this is the key in a way, because what they've done is they've ploughed a lot of money into public sector salaries and stuff, but they haven't asked for guarantees of productivity in return. So what their big play is that we're going to increase taxes on business, but stuff's going to work better. There is a chance that it will just carry on the same. And their argument will be, was that that's the investment it took for it to carry on as it is. I think the public will be fucking so disillusioned if that they gave all these extra salaries to train drivers, you know, to NHS workers and so on, just for things to carry on being as shit as they are. Things will just plateau. They'll only just plateau. What most people think.
But also, I got really sick of Keir Starmer as soon as he got in. I got sick to death of him mentioning everything that the Tories have done. It's like, yeah, we know what they've done, but you're here now, so can you tell us what you're going to do? I don't want to hear you bollocking them or complaining about them. You're in now, so can you tell us what's going to change? I just hate all this sort of retrospective, they did this, they did that. Right, fine. Okay, we get it. What are you going to do?
Well, I think that is a big problem, is they think that they can do what the Tories did in 2010. But the problem is we've already had all the austerity years. So the public's appetite to hear about what went wrong before is really limited. They just want you to, the public just want the government to crack on. And, you know, you mentioned about sort of like the communications. I mean, there is this thing of like focus groups are saying about the budget that it was sneaky and deceptive. And it does come back to this idea that Starmer, he sort of lied to become leader, or he said he could do a bunch of things and then he couldn't do. And then during the election campaign, it does seem that they've either lied or not been clear about their intentions. And now they're going to govern a different way. And I sort of thought, what are the rules on when we get angry with politicians for lying? Is it just that he didn't put it on a bus? Is that the thing? It's like, look, we don't mind. You chat as much bullshit as you want. Just please don't put it on a fucking bus. Because there's two kinds of dishonesty, isn't there? There's dishonesty like the Boris one. That's like, we're going to build 40 hospitals. We're going to have a space station made in Britain. And all this bollocks. And then there's also the dishonesty of what you don't tell people that you're definitely going to do as well.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, you know, it's like your parent that says, oh, we're going Disneyland and stuff like that. And then your mum who doesn't tell you that you're going to the dentist straight from school and says that you're going, like the shock and betrayal. I mean, this is obviously a direct personal experience that happens, but
you're still reeling from it, I can tell.
Yeah, she fucking led me down the garden path there. I haven't really ever fully trusted women ever since. And I feel like that about Keir Starmer. He's the lying mother of Britain.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I am liberal, I would say, but I don't like the guy. I don't know. I felt like things were going to be better, and all I've had is a telling off for something that's not my fault.
Do you know what? I was going to make another point, but I think that is a perfect way of putting how Britain feels. Remember, it's called What Most People Think, and I think that is it. All right, so now we have the opposition to Keir Starmer. We know who the main players are going to be, because Kemi Badenoch. And well done to people, by the way, that keeps doing the bad Enoch joke. Just keep doing it forever. It never gets any less funny. I think it's like making jokes about James Cleverly's surname. It's just always as funny. She won possibly by a tighter margin. I think it's 57-43 against Robert Generic, Robert Oilslick, Jemrick Lamar. He's got Man of a Thousand Nicknames. And do you know the first thing that I thought, Rachel, right, before we get into the politics, is this is a nightmare for impressionists, right? Because good luck in the political age that we live in. They seemed okay with doing Rishi, but we know how this industry works. There'll be a lot of agents asking their black female clients, do you do voices? What's your heritage? Because I just had a thought. Shoot me down.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
What are your impressions of Kemi Badenoch?
She's not my cup of tea. I don't agree with a lot of things that she says, obviously, but you cannot deny the fact that she's very principled. She will not back down, and she says what she wants, and she means what she says. And I was thinking about this, and it doesn't look very good for Labour. I mean, the diversity in the Conservative Party has wiped the floor with Labour, really. I mean, this is the fourth female leader, is it not?
Fourth female. Also, they've had a Jewish prime minister, they've had an Asian and a black leader as well. I mean, it was interesting seeing the reaction, because obviously that is inconvenient to certain left-wingers and progressives, right? So I did a tweet saying, you know, trying to be positive, saying it's worth celebrating how few fucks most Brits give about Kemi's race or sex, right? Most people just seem confused it was on a Saturday morning. Like, what, you know, it's football focus.
Yeah, that was, I was a bit like, really, today? Can we not do this on a Monday?
This is not a Saturday news thing, okay? So on Threads, and I try not to talk too much direct social media, but Threads is basically, do you remember when Twitter was madly left-wing? Well, all those people are now on Threads now. So I just made that point, and people like really climbed in. They said it's also basically that she's far right, that she's racist, classist, misogynistic, and generally nasty. She's a far right racist. Fascist. Oh, we got an, it's like an auction, isn't it? Any advance on the races? Any of the races we're going once goes, oh, fascist. All right, we've got fascist, far right. So the one thing I suppose that led me to believe, and you know, social media is never really the greatest gauge of anything, but it might unite the left a little bit, because Rishi Sunak wasn't a great baddie for them, was he?
Mm.
Because he was more moderate than Liz Truss. He did argue against what Liz Truss is doing economically. So is this a good point where the left can sort of forget their reservations about Starmer for a while and go for her?
To be honest with you, I feel very baffled by a lot of the reaction to Kemi Badenoch, because it's like, really, there's a black woman who's leading the Conservative Party, okay? Regardless of what you think of her values or whatever, she's there, and that's quite a thing, really, I think. But what I don't understand is everyone saying, you know, now people get, you know, people sharing things on Instagram, you know, when people do an opinion on Instagram and people share it, that kind of thing. Here's my thoughts.
Yeah.
I don't understand the thing of like, it's that kind of thing like, yeah, but it's not the kind of black woman we want. That's the vibe. And I don't like that. I feel very uncomfortable a lot of the time because I'm thinking, hang on a minute. You do know that regardless of someone's race, gender, whatever, people have different thoughts. Like, not everybody thinks the same. Not every black woman will be liberal. There's a lot of very conservative black people.
No, I 100% agree. I think it's really ironic that they don't see that telling a different race of people what they should think, for me, yeah, pretty much is the fucking epitome of racism.
It absolutely blows my mind. I find it very insulting. It makes me actually very uncomfortable. You know, not everybody thinks the same, and not everybody thinks how you want them to think.
It's also quite ignorant of the facts as well. It's like, you know, if you look at various communities and religious, yeah, faiths by group, some will be way more small C conservative. You know, there was a lot of British Asians that voted for, yeah, Brexit. So the idea that there's this, it's so kind of colonial in a way to go, now listen here. If you...
Yeah, it's so patronising. It's so offensive. Also, I kind of feel like I don't agree with most of what she says. I don't, you know, I'm not a conservative, but what I do think is you can't deny the fact that that's a black woman in charge of the Conservative Party. That is quite something. And I just kind of get a bit sick of like, yeah, but it's not the right kind of person. Do you know what I mean? For example, yeah, I this is such an insane thing to go off on, but it's really bothered me. I was in York recently and there was a little gift shop and it was women through history, this cup. And I saw the cup and I picked it up and I was looking and there was like Cleopatra, there was Boudicca, there was all this kind of stuff. And then they didn't have Margaret Thatcher on it. And I'm not a Thatcherite, but she was the first female prime minister in the country. And I was like, you can't just erase somebody from history because you didn't.
Yeah, all of it matters or none of it matters. Either you believe that when you get first female chancellor, it all matters regardless of political leanings or none of it matters. Where was the gift shop again? Where was it?
Oh, it was in York.
You see, you know what they're like in York. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it just really annoys me because it's like, you know, there's a lot of people that I don't agree with. There's a lot of people that I don't like, but you can't just erase them from the history that has been. It's like you can't erase the first female prime minister of Great Britain off a cup because you don't like her.
I'm going to send this headline out to the comedy press. Rachel Fairbairn, pro-Thatcher these days.
Absolutely
loves,
not, don't it?
Loves a bit of Thatcher.
Oh, my God. My mother would murder me. She would kill me.
Well, you know, my dad was a trade union man. Maybe this is, you know, maybe this is why we have some sort of kindred spirit. I would say as well, on the diversity thing, I do think the Tories should really throw it in their face and just go, 4-0 to the Tory boys, 4-0. From a diversity perspective, 4-0 to the Tory boys. Okay, just a quick hype. We've got a few more patrons to welcome. We've got Mark O'Neill. I'm just going to do that in Northern accent. Mark O'Neill. Welcome to Patreon. We Mark there. Your man, Marky O'Neill. It always starts off well with Northern Irish accent and it goes to shit. We've got IMDX, who just sounds like a rapper. Featuring IMDX. And then we got Alfonso Algarve, which is so clearly a fucking made up. That cannot be a real name. That is just a Guardian journalists trying to get news stories like, I don't know, Rachel Fairbairn loves a bit of Thatcher. Just saying.
Don't you dare.
If you see on Twitter, it has nothing to do with me.
Bury me now.
I've got a work in progress leg coming up in March and April. By the way, there will be a full 80-plus date UK tour in the autumn. So this is just working up stuff in smaller, more intimate venues. I'm doing dates. A lot of them are selling out, but I'm doing dates in Luton, Middlesbrough, Sheffield and Whitehaven. I don't even know where the fuck that is, but I'm doing a date in Whitehaven. It sounds like it's on the south coast, is it?
It sounds like a nice place. South coast.
But using our logic of places that sound nice, I'm probably going to get stabbed.
Yeah, you're probably right, actually.
So let's talk US presidential election. Just again to point out, this is Monday morning around 10 a.m. So we're going to talk in general terms. And there does seem to have been a momentum shift towards Kamala Harris. Because if we had the thing, you would have seen it, Rachel, at the Trump rally where the comedian Tony Hinchcliffe made the comment about Puerto Rico and garbage. Then Joe Biden basically insinuated that all Trump supporters were garbage, but tried to equivocate after. I think he clearly fucking meant it. But they were like, no, he didn't mean all of them. He just said all of them, but he didn't mean all. But then fucking, you know, I think Trump's first reaction to that was probably the most honest when he said, poor old Joe, he knoweth not what he says. That was probably the most fair and honest reaction. And then Trump has gone into the last few weeks like he wants to lose it, right? I've said in this podcast for a while, all he needed to do to win, just be America's dad, just be a nicer guy, just reassure the undecideds, don't be fucking mental. So yeah, he had this comment, which was portrayed as one about abortion, which was actually one about immigration. But he said he's going to protect the women, whether they like it or not. I'm just going to say, with his history around women, I just wouldn't go anywhere near the phrase whether they like it or not. That's just my, call me a mad fucking woke liberal. Just don't maybe ever use that phrase ever. Whether they like it or not. And then he's doubled down on it. He's also made a comment about Liz Cheney. Say, you know, it was basically an anti-war point, but he managed to get to a metaphor with where she was surrounded by people with rifles who are about to shoot her. Again, I think the point that he was making was actually one that progressives might actually agree with for the most part, but maybe don't have, you know, imaginary rifles trained on a woman. It's just another thought. And then there was this weird stuff with the microphone where his microphone wasn't working at a rally and he seemed to sort of fillet an imaginary microphone. You think, okay, first things first, Rachel, he is 78. I mean, the fact that he's still going at this point, can we just...
Wow.
78.
Could you be bothered? No.
No.
I feel that with Donald Trump running for president again, it's the kind of thing that does make me feel like we are living in a simulation. Mm. So things like this make me go, I think this might be a simulation. Why is this happening? It's insane. I don't really think that he wants it. I just think he enjoys the run up to it. And I do actually think that he will win.
There's been these polls. There was one that says that, I mean, it's really hard when you start talking American politics because you go, the swing state, the Iowa caucus and the bloody... I don't know what these words mean, but there's one from Ohio that unexpectedly put Harris ahead. But I think you're right. I wonder if he just likes touring. I think he just likes the rallies.
But also he's got that thing of like, it's very competitive, isn't it? And that's all it is. It's like, I mean, do you remember when he won the first time round? And I think he was just like, oh, shit, I didn't really want this.
Yeah. Well, on Joe Rogan, he sort of almost admitted to that fact. He was a bit like, oh, yeah, I wanted to ride Air Force One mainly. Could I just ride around in the sky?
Yeah. For the duration? Just like going around, doing his thing. But I do think he'll win because I do think a lot of people, you know, I think people are liars, you know. And I do think that there's a lot of people that vocally would be like anti-Trump, but I think might actually vote for him.
Well, this is interesting. So it's funny you say that because there's been this campaign, what seemed to be a very effective campaign. So it's Julia Roberts on an advert and it's saying to the women of America, like, if you promise your husband that you're going to vote Trump, what happens in the voting booth stays in the voting booth. I think this is fucking genius because you just play into that thing in women's minds. Like, do you fancy just like, lying to your husband and him never finding out. You know those shoes that you used to keep at the back of the cupboard before Amazon did deliveries? I honestly thought that was genius. Just reminding them, if you just want to piss your husband off, really, if you've been married a while and he goes on and on about politics, what happens in the booth? It's like a little affair. You're having a little...
Yeah, I quite like that, yeah.
No, I thought it was really smart. But what you say is true as well. There might be loads of liberal blokes, you know, in New York, which I've just been to, I don't know if I mentioned, but in New York, telling their wives and partners that they're going to vote. Oh, of course, babe, of course I'm going to vote Harris. I'm not going to vote for that goddamn misogynist Trump. Yeah.
I think that happens more than you'd think. I think people do it here, and I think people certainly do it in America. I think people, you know, want to be on the surface. Look at me, I'm a good guy.
Yeah,
I'm one a feminist. Of the good guys.
I read Captain Moran.
Absolutely. And then they just vote Tory, or they vote the opposite to what they say.
Well, Harris has had like a good last week, undeniably. So she appeared on SNL. So it was like one of their cold opens. So a cold open is just like the bit they do before the title. And Maya Rudolph, who's a great comic actress, so she's been doing an impression of Kamala Harris throughout the campaign. In no way is it being satirical. It's more being a bit of a love-in. It's so weird for us to see in this country that it's just like the main purpose seems to be to remind people of what they like about Kamala Harris. It's really odd. So then it pans round and then Kamala Harris is there. And they basically trade puns on the word Kamala, like a Rom Kamala. Give me your Parmala Kamala. I mean, honestly, not fucking funny at all. But, you know, Kamala Harris comes across in that nice way that she does. She smiles, she laughs generously. And I sort of, again, it adds to this feeling that the way they do politics and comedy over there is totally different. But then I remembered on the last leg, do you remember when Jeremy Corbyn turned up in a pimp coat and got out of a limo? Do you remember that? God.
No, I don't remember this. No.
I mean, this is the last leg. I think it was, you know, during the, Jeremy Corbyn, you know when it's still the, you know, celebrity left-wingers were all pro-Corbyn like 2016, 17. And yeah, there was an episode of Last Leg where he turned up for the show in, got out of a limo wearing like a white fur pimp coat and walked in, I think, with a gangster walking stick.
I can't bear this. This is the worst thing I've ever heard. It makes me feel ill. It just makes me cringe so much. I hate things like that. Like comedians as well. I always feel with comedy, can we not creep to these people? Can we, you know, whatever your political leanings, can we just joke about the things? Or it makes me cringe so much.
It was genuinely a weird thing to watch. I mean, people should watch this SNL clip. And again, they're just unabashed about it. Like, they sort of... I get the truth is that Trump does offer up more mad shit to take the piss out of. But there are aspects of Harris that you could get into. She's flaky as fuck. When they asked her what would she have done differently from the Biden years, she just said, nothing comes to mind. You know, nothing comes to mind. The most obvious end-of-interview question. So... There is stuff that you could get your teeth into. But look, the fact of the matter is like, you know, this podcast is called What Most People Think. And I dare say there'll be people listening to this that kind of, you know, want Trump to win, if not just to see the old salty liberal tears, which we haven't seen for a while. They're always fun watching those videos of screaming women. But the truth is the majority of Brits, by some margin, want Harris to win, but think Trump will win. So I will be doing an episode, a breaking news episode later in the week, and I guess we'll find out then. Or there'll be some sort of civil war, nuclear war. I don't know. Rachel Fairbairn, so, we've had technical issues, but thank you for being a champion throughout this. I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Marriott Beaujolais or the Bon Voyage?
The Marriott Bonvoy.
That's so fucking pretentious. Are you touring the podcast or...
I am on tour from February next year, February, March.
Oh, right.
I'm on tour. So rachelfairbairn.com.
Cool. And what's the talk?
Oh, it's Side Eye. It's my character show, but the stand-up as well.
Stand up as well, yes.
So if you don't like character comedy, there's plenty of, you'll get a bit of stand up as well.
Okay, so yeah, of course, follow Rachel across all her socials, go to her website, get tickets for the tour. And yeah, I guess next time we'll speak to you, it's going to be more Donald Trump or it's going to be a bit of Kamala. Just balls out prediction, what are you saying, Trump or Harris?
Well, I do think Donald Trump will win.
Okay, I've got a sneaking suspicion for Harris, but I guess we'll find out later in the week.